Appetite for Risk. Der Titel der heutigen Folge lässt eine Besonderheit erahnen. Ich freue mich sehr, dass in der heutigen Folge ein englischer MSP zu Wort kommt. Daher ist das ganze Gespräch auch auf Englisch. Jason Fry, der bereits ein IT-Unternehmen in UK verkauft hat und seit 2019 mit seiner Neugründung Adnita im englischen Markt erfolgreich ist, berichtet über die für ihn wichtigen Managed Security Aspekte. Jason sagt unter anderem, "We understand that the traditional way of supporting and managing IT needs to change." Was meint er damit? Und was sind die für ihn wichtigsten Security Services und was macht deren Erfolg aus? Und was ist der für ihn wichtige Customer Experience Level als Ergänzung zum technischen SLA? Viel Freude und spannende Eindrücke aus dem Gespräch mit Jason Fry wünsche ich euch.
Hi Jason, thank you for your time and your openness and for supporting us at MSP Journey. Good morning.
Good morning, Olaf. You're welcome.
Thanks. Before we talk about your experiences and findings throughout your own journey as an IT provider, as a managed service provider, I would like to briefly introduce yourself and your company.
Yes, of course. And thank you, Olaf, for the opportunity to talk about this. So Adnita is a company that I started in 2019 after selling my previous MSP business in 2018. We are based in the United Kingdom and we service customers across the UK, pretty much in all verticals. So we're not aligned to any particular type of business. We primarily focus on delivering co-managed services to small and medium businesses with a limited sort of internal IT function so that we can complement and add to that internal IT capability that that a business has. So co-managed is a sort of a relatively new sort of offering within the MSP market, but it's relatively normal for us and we've been doing it for some time now. And really what we're doing is we're sort of extending all of the MSP toolset that we've been using for many years and sort of putting it in the hands of the customer and then helping them sort of operate their own internal IT function and being there as really kind of a supporting partner in the background to kind of, assist them, in delivering that internal IT service to their customers, to the internal users. So we do that from a support perspective, but we also work on sort of ongoing projects with those customers as well in a sort of a co-innovative way rather than just sort of one-off IT engagement projects. So we're very much trying to sort of cement that long-term engagement with our customers rather than just sort of one-off engagements. We also do an awful lot in IT security, obviously. We take a sort of a co-responsibility approach on that with our customers as well. So, we're not just expecting our customers to take full ownership of their IT security. And likewise, we're not expecting, to take full responsibility for their IT security as well. It's very much, a collaborative thing that we're doing with them. And really, we're kind of doing this for customers where we recognize that sort of one size does not fit all. There's so much diversity in our customers' sort of technology stacks that we have to be open and accommodating with that. So starting Adnita in sort of 2019 gave me an opportunity to sort of really take a step back and have a look at what was needed today as far as sort of delivery of IT services and support and IT security. So it's been quite an interesting journey over the last few years, particularly with the pandemic and COVID in the middle of all of that, and it's presented us with some quite interesting opportunities, but a few challenges along the way as well. So
we don't always know what's ahead of us.
Exactly. I mean, there's always huge amounts of uncertainty, isn't there, in the world? Absolutely. But, particularly around IT and IT security as well.
So on your website, and maybe you already mentioned this with your co-managed approach, one of your main claims is we understand that the traditional way of supporting and managing IT needs to change. So
yes,
is the co-managed approach the main core of your go-to-market, or would you like to mention anything else according to this, the traditional way needs to change?
Yeah, well, partly the reason that we make that statement is we recognize that the way that IT is being consumed within a business now has changed massively since it, you know, like it was about sort of 5-10 years ago. Traditionally, an organization used to make a capital investment in an IT system, and then they would run that in maintenance mode for 3 years, 5 years, or some 10 plus years, as long as they could get away with it, I guess. And then they would go through a big sort of refresh project.
Don't touch a running system.
Exactly. And then, and then they would have to, you know, invest a huge amount of money to rip and replace that system, in a few years' time and go through a big sort of IT refresh project. So, you know, we recognize that that's kind of changed now because, you know, a lot of organizations are taking advantage of cloud technologies. So an awful lot of that, IT estate has moved off premise and is constantly changing. We're not seeing these big sort of rip and replace projects anymore. We're seeing a sort of a more smaller incremental change on an ongoing basis. And that requires a slightly different approach to supporting that environment because it's under constant change and constant innovation. So the IT service that we're offering, as part of co-managed or outsourced, recognizes that that's the new norm now, and we have to accept this constant change.
Please explain a little bit more in depth about this constant evolution of your managed services. Are there prepared packages? You already mentioned that you have to be flexible in tying your company to your customer in the right manner. So do you have predefined packages, managed packages, or how do you fit into the setup of your customer?
Yeah, it's a really good question, Olaf. And for many years, running the previous MSP that I was involved with, and I know a lot of other MSPs have done this as well, we've tried to sort of fit customers into predefined packages or technology stacks to make it easier for us to deliver those services and adhere to the SLAs that we have with our customers. However, with this constant change, that's become more difficult to package all of those elements. So we found one size does not fit all, and two or three sizes does not fit all, actually. So we are having to sort of bespoke our service offerings to our customers a little bit more than we used to. There's still core offerings and sort of prices around certain services that we offer, but we've had to be a bit more flexible. That does have an overhead on us because obviously, you know, we've almost got a different contract and different service scope for each customer. But the way that we counter that is with really good sort of internal documentation and processes and information around that particular customer so that we can understand what they have and what we're delivering to them. But we also have a very open and transparent engagement with our customers so that they understand what they are and what they aren't getting, because the danger of not boxing it off is that they think they're getting everything. Mm-hmm. So we just have to have a very sort of continue engagement with that customer. And if things change in their world, which it does on a very regular basis, you know, businesses have to adapt to a lot of pressures, commercial, social, environmental, political, that affect their business. We have to adapt our services as their businesses change. So it's just a continual engagement that we're having with them, not once a quarter or once a year. It's an ongoing conversation.
Yesterday, I spoke with someone who said you have to go with your customer one time through the darknet, put him in the Tor browser so that he feels and not discusses a statistic which says there are 67% ransomware and whatever. So let's have a look to the security part of your offerings.
Sure.
Are there some kind of, and there are lots of security services like a security service catalog in the field. So, how is your approach regarding this? Are you bundling security services, or is it the same what you already explained that it's more like a offering like a catalog where you find the right services for your customer?
Yeah, it's about finding the right sort of blend of services and technologies to address a customer's appetite for risk around IT security. Because, you know, as we all know, there's many, many IT security vendors and technologies available out there, and you know, where do you start sometimes, right? You know, you've got to sort of pick and choose the ones that you feel more comfortable and confident that are going to deliver the right service to your customers. We've chosen some best of breed vendors and technologies that we've been working with for some time, that we know deliver the right sort of levels of IT security to our customers. It's then about having a conversation with that customer about what their appetite to risk is, because ultimately we'd like them to have all of these technologies. Because then, you know, they're going to be very well covered, but a lot of the time they can't afford that right away. And it may be that they don't necessarily need all of those. You know, they may be at a sort of a lower risk or have a lower appetite for risk within the business and are happy to accept that they don't need to have all of those sort of things covered as far as IT security.
Are there some, in the security area, are there some services, some kind of mandatory from your perspective? So I know a lot of MSPs say we need a firewall. Our antivirus is not sufficient anymore. That was 20 years ago. Now we are in the... in the 2020s. And you need a firewall, you need a managed firewall. Antivirus is not sufficient also anymore. You need something like EDR, XDR, MDR or whatever. So what is your, if you have something like this, your mandatory setup in the security field for your customers?
Sure. Well, I think, as you were just alluding to there, sort of endpoint antivirus and firewalls are given, you know, and that has been for a very long time. I mean, any business that you know, doesn't really sort of have a firewall in place or endpoint sort of antiviruses, you know, isn't really sort of taking their business very seriously. So, you know, that's been a given for some time, but really, you know, those things don't cover a lot of the sort of risks that are, you know, out there today. So what's been a game changer for us is around sort of managed detection and response. We partner with some great vendors, and one of those is Sophos. And, you know, they've got a very good sort of MDR offering, which we resell to our customers. And, you know, that's taken that sort of endpoint antivirus to the next level, because obviously, you know, trying to sort of build a SOC or a SIEM offering into our packages for our customers was going to be very costly. So having a managed offering from a very well-known security vendor is a great thing for us and a very easy thing to offer to our customers. So on top of that sort of basic managed firewall and antivirus, we offer that managed detection detection and response, which is the, you know, the managed SOC and the managed SIEM and the threat hunting and the threat detection offering from Sophos. In addition to that, we offer some sort of other complementary services. I mean, you know, we offer backup and replication and recovery. I know a lot of MSPs have been doing that for some time. But we also get involved with sort of a lot of risk management and cyber resilience planning, trying to have conversations with our customers about their maturity around being able to deal with a cyber incident should it happen or when it will happen, and just making sure that they're aware of the risks and trying to help them define what their appetite is around those risks, because then that enables us to position the right technologies and services to them.
I already have the header for our chat, because it is three times appetite for risk. I would take this as the header line.
Good.
The MDR service. Hmm. Am I right? This you managed co-managed services initially. Correct. So, yes. And this is maybe a wonderful example for a co-managed service from the perspective of your customer, because 99% of your small, medium-sized customers will never be able to build up anything like the offering you together with your vendor are providing to them, right? So this is 100% co-managed, and it's maybe not that difficult to explain that this should be a co-managed offering, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, that particular MDR offering that we have in place is very well suited to that co-managed offering that we have with our customers, because, you know, it's a joint responsibility of both the MSP and the customer to take IT security very seriously for their business. It's not just our responsibility, as in the MSP, to look after it for the customer, although there's some customers that fully want to outsource everything to us. They still need to take some responsibility around the risks of IT security in their business, and understand those risks and help us position the right level of risk within their business and the technologies around that. So, yeah, it fits very nicely with that.
If you have a look to the journey with Anitor starting in 2019, what would you say are the main keys to the success you have in this managed service or especially managed security service area? What makes you successful?
Well, I think that co-managed approach is quite a sort of new approach that a lot of customers are sort of warming towards, because, you know, they're recognizing that they do need to take some responsibility themselves for their IT journey and in particular their IT security as well. So just having that open conversation with customers has been sort of quite successful for us. The approach around IT security, again, you know, what's been really sort of successful for us is talking about the risks. Yeah, not just talking about the technologies, because as soon as you start going in there talking about all the technologies, the customers think you're immediately trying to sell them something or scare them into buying something. And, you know, quite rightly, they should be concerned about the, you know, all of the risks out there. But what's been really sort of working for us is trying to take a bit of a step back and try and understand their business in a bit more detail. You know, what are the risks to that business? You know, is it financial? Is it, you know, the risk of losing their data? Is it the, you know, risk of their data become, you know, being published in the public domain? Is it an, you know, an outage of their sort of operations that would be the biggest risk to their business? And then trying to sort of understand the maturity of where the business is, you know, in regards to sort of, you know, a number of different things around, you know, responding to cyber incidents, and, you know, developing sort of further things within the business that, that could impact, you know, their sort of position as far as IT security is concerned. So it's been useful to have those kind of conversations because it, it demonstrates that we're taking an interest in their business and we are positioning the right technologies and services to them rather than just trying to sell to them all of the time. So that's been quite a success for us.
Awesome. Is there also an effect because the publicity of successful ransomware attacks are reaching your customers or customers of other partners in the UK too? So is this raising more awareness at your customer side that they're seeing are in the market and nevertheless what branch or what industry field this is attacking, it affects us all. Is there effect coming out of this higher publicity of successful attacks?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of the customers are seeing those news stories, on sort of mainstream news channels, you know, on the television as well as, you know, online as well. But they're also hearing it from, you know, their competitors and other businesses within their industries as well. So, you know, word gets around quite quickly if a, you know, if another business, has suffered sort of ransomware attacks that that they're aware of. So yeah, I mean, you know, everybody's aware of it, I think, but there's also an awful lot of you know, a lot of marketing and a lot of information that's coming out of security vendors that's being sort of thrust into customers, and some of it's quite sort of daunting and confusing for them. So they need some help understanding where the risks are within their business and what they can do to you know, minimize those risks, really. So again, it's all about that conversation for them. But yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, they're all aware. It's you can't avoid it, right?
My experience is that the successful attacks on smaller companies does raise more awareness if compared to an enterprise attack. So if I'm an SMB company and another SMB company is successfully attacked, then that makes me more thinkable about the Anita offering, maybe.
Absolutely.
We talked about the keys, the main success factors, and maybe, only maybe, they were on your road to the here and now. There are some obstacles you probably challenged and maybe find solutions for them. So what are the main obstacles maybe that will help others to get your insight about how you tackled them?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And I mean, I guess the biggest challenge for us has been sort of managing those multiple security technologies and vendors, right, and blending them together into a solution for a customer that fits their needs. The more vendors and the more technology that we're using, the you know, the bigger the challenge was, really. So we've tried to consolidate as many of those as we possibly can. And again, sort of going back to that MDR offering from Sophos, that's been a, you know, a sort of a game changer for us, really, because you know, that particular MDR offering also ingests an awful lot of feeds and you know, data from a lot of other sort of security technologies, firewalls and sort of you know, managed sort of email threat protection services as well. So that's been really useful for us to kind of consolidate that down. But that was a big challenge for us, is just, you know, engaging and managing with all of these different sort of IT security technologies. I mean, the other sort of conundrum that we had was, you know, were we going to build out our own security operation center? And, you know, try and staff this and manage this sort of 24/7. You know, that was a bit of a challenge for us really to kind of work out whether it was cost effective for us to do that or not. In the end, we decided, you know, to not go down that route. You know, and luckily the sort of Sophos MDR offering came along and you know, filled a big gap there for us really. So I was, you know, very grateful for that really, because it meant I didn't have to go off and invest, you know, quite a lot of money in sort of building out that SOC really, to do that. So yeah, I mean, the main obstacles were really just around managing all of those, you know, multiple security technologies and all the feeds from them. You know, just keeping pace really with all of the new threats and potential threats that are emerging on, you know, on the landscape.
As I guess after 4 or 5 years, you're now with your new approach at the market, you are looking at your own growing and scaling into the future. And there's some kind of automation.
Yeah,
really helpful. Jason, two last questions, if I'm allowed to.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Okay. In our briefing chat, we mentioned SLA, mm-hmm. and I would not ask you about SLAs. I would like to ask you, you spoke about a customer experience level that you're more...
Yes.
Leaning towards this term than to a service level agreement. So please help me. What is your approach with the customer experience level to get a little grip that your customers really are lucky with that, Nito?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I think what we were talking about was XLAs. So experience level agreements.
And, right.
Yeah, and what we've tried to do with Adnitor is really focus on that customer experience and outcomes. So SLAs are really important. You know, they help us and the customer mm-hmm. make sure that we are doing what we need to do within the time that we need to do it and we're responding correctly. But we've added an extra layer on top around experience. So we use it as a sort of a key benchmark for us to make sure that we are delivering what our customers want and what they need. So an XLA is an experience level agreement. Yeah. So we sit down with the customer and we kind of agree a level of happiness, satisfaction, that they want from.
Maybe I switch from appetite for risk to appetite for happiness.
Appetite for happiness. I like that one. I'm going to use that. So yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's a certain expectation our customers have about the services that we're going to deliver. And we want to make sure that we are, you know, overachieving on that, really. So an experience level is about us engaging on a continual basis with our customers to make sure that the services that we're delivering, the projects that we're delivering are achieving, not only achieving the outcomes, but making sure that they are delivering business value to our customers as well, and that we're doing it in the right way. And, you know, we are not having repeating issues. All of those kind of things factor into that overall happiness of, you know, of a customer engagement. So we're just trying to capture these things as we go along these engagements with our customers and make sure that we're maintaining that experience level, really. So yeah, that's what we were talking about.
Awesome. So the last question is, what's your appetite for happiness? Your personal appetite?
Oh, my personal appetite for happiness. I want to be very happy going forward.
So what would make you happy in the future? What are your plans for 23, Jason?
So plans for 23 and sort of going forward. Yeah, interesting question. I'm really excited, but equally really anxious about all the stuff that's going on with AI at the moment. It's kind of blowing my mind, right?
Okay.
you can't avoid it. It. You know, it's being talked about everywhere, right? With ChatGPT and Microsoft Copilot and things like that. And you know, I'm a little overwhelmed with it all at the moment, because I think, you know, there's so much opportunity and so much possibility for us and for our customers to take advantage of that. So I'm super excited about it, but I'm also kind of like a little bit anxious about where it's all going to go and what it's going to lead to, and, you know, how many sort of Pandora's boxes it's going to open up along the way. But yeah, I mean, you know, plans for us in 2023, we're always, you know, looking to achieve more efficiency within our business as we grow. You know, and we're growing quite rapidly, but as we grow, there's more complexity, more customers, you know, everything kind of sort of builds out. So we want to make sure that we're maintaining those experience levels and building more and more efficiencies into our business. So I'm really keen to have a look at how AI and things like that can really help us maintain those levels of experience and build efficiencies into our business. You know, with more and more demand that's coming through the door. So yeah, that's really the sort of plans for 2023, is to really focus on that, to sort of strengthen our engagements with our customers and, you know, work closer with our vendors as well, and basically make everybody happy.
Thank you very much, Jason, for sharing your experiences and insight, and continue all the best on your further MSP journey. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Olaf.